How do you have hope?
This was the question that Matt Fred asked Jimmy Akin in the podcast this week, and it just struck me. Jimmy was given this great presentation. Through the midst of it, he was speaking so positively on so many things, but also through that framework of just knowing what life is like, the crosses therein. How can we have hope in the face of the cross? In another way, a more theological way of putting it, why the cross? What is the meaning behind it? We get to explore that today in this fourth Sunday of Lent, this Laetare Sunday. How so? Well, seeing the big picture is part of it. If you're keeping score at home, we've been seeing the big picture for these past 4 weeks, in particular through our first reading. If you think back, 3 weeks ago, we went all the way back to the flood, the covenant of God and Noah. 2 weeks ago, it was between Abraham and God and his covenant with the sacrifice of Isaac. And then last week, we heard of the covenant with Moses, the giving of the Ten Commandments. We're seeing, in a cursory way, all of salvation history unfold, even with just the working knowledge of a child's Bible. We see that these first readings lead us through all the high points of salvation history, almost like we're going somewhere. In fact, next week we'll hear Jeremiah prophesy of the new covenant, and then we'll see it fulfilled as Palm Sunday leads us through Holy Week into the fulfillment of that new and eternal covenant. And only through that framework, well, at least for me, did the first reading make much sense. From the second book of Chronicles, it starts with the infidelity of the Jewish people. The princes, the priests, and all the people leads to the destruction of Jerusalem, the Babylonian captivity, and a cross leads to suffering in the midst of this challenging world for them. And you can imagine someone then, much like today, not on a podcast, I realize, but still very really, how can you have hope? Well, it came for the Jewish people, at least in 2 Chronicles, through a very unlikely way. Cyrus, the king of Persia, a pagan king, Chronicles tells us, he defeated the Babylonians. The Babylonians who led the Jewish people into captivity and exile. Cyrus then frees the Jews and rebuilds the temple. This darkness of their destruction, their sin, their death, their infidelity, all the darkness of their lives, Cyrus seems to turn on the light. Isaiah elsewhere even speaks of Cyrus, the king of Persia, as a type of Christ, an anointed one. Seen through that lens, our gospel helps us really appreciate the source of hope. Not just one piece of history through the course of salvation history, but looking at a privileged conversation between Nicodemus, this Pharisee, and the leaders of the Jews, and Jesus himself. It's the third chapter of the Gospel of John we hear today. And Nicodemus, it says at the beginning of the third chapter, that Nicodemus comes to him at night, in the dark. That's not an accidental throwaway line that St. John gives to us. That he comes in the dark is symbolic. The darkness of sin and death, yes, but also the darkness of disbelief, the darkness of ignorance. Nicodemus, though he's this learned man, comes with so many questions. And the Lord, in his love, doesn't just see the darkness and give up on him, but brings the light right into it. This is what our Lord says to Nicodemus. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. To live in the truth and come to the light. We know it. Right? We experience that light in the charitable acts that we receive from others and that we offer. We experience that light when our minds are enlightened to the truth of the gospel. Our hearts experience the light of that truth when we celebrate the beauty of the sacraments and experience the love of God in a tangible way. The light allows us to see the works clearly done. Light sometimes lets us see things that we don't want to see. Sometimes we see ugliness there, but we see that through the light, no pun intended, of the beginning of the passage. What does Jesus say? But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I hope you see the imagery there. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, you remember the scene? The Israelites are there in the desert and they're crying out in frustration, and then seraph serpents, fiery serpents, come in and start biting them, killing some of them. What do? They cry out now for help. And the Lord reveals to Moses the answer. He is to forge a bronze serpent and set it up as a sign. He's supposed to put this bronze serpent on a pole so that everyone who is bitten can look to that bronze serpent and live. What a strange thing. You can imagine the Israelites saying, well, how can we have hope? How can we have hope in that? It's the sign of our death. It's the sign of our destruction. Why would we want to look at a serpent? And yet, look at medical images still to this day. That serpent on the pole. A reminder. Sometimes our medicine feels like more pain than healing, but it's to lead to healing. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, Jesus says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is to be lifted up. A sign of death, yeah. On a staff, yep. But to heal us? Yeah, of course. In the most important way. To heal not just a physical death, but the death of despair, the death of darkness and sin. That's why we have hope. Not just hope in the one cross of Christ, but that we can have hope in all the crosses that come up in our lives. The crosses of deaths of loved ones and bad diagnoses from the doctors, just the death of hearing the news or seeing divisions among people. We can have hope because by his holy cross, he's redeemed the world. And so in the context of all of this, we get to hear the most memorable quote of all the scriptures, John 3:16. If there's one line from the whole Bible that you have memorized, I bet it's this one. And if you don't have it memorized, I would encourage you to do so. I feel like it needs to be quoted often in each of our hearts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. It's out of love that God gives us Jesus, not just as a token, not just as a nice sign, but as a sign that is a sign of contradiction, a sign that doesn't make sense why this would be a sign of hope. But only through this sign of hope does any of our hope, any of our signs of death make sense, so that we might not perish, but might have eternal life. This is Laetare Sunday. We lighten up our purples and bring out the rose. We are called to rejoice on this day in the midst of the darkness of Lent. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.